TheUnheardNerd.com.
Welcome to Word to the Nerd, the interview podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. I'm your host, as ever. My name is Will, and joining me on the show this time around is none other than Charlotte rapper Sulfur, one half of Thought Criminals with Michael Kill, but talking about his new solo release. It's called Rebirth. This is an interview with Sulfur. Enjoy.
Listen up, yeah, it's a word to the nerd. Coming through the speakers from the one you never heard. A brand new show you don't want to miss, because you never heard a nerd with a style like this. Nerdcore, hip-hop, 8-bit, pop rock. It's our culture on the rise and it won't stop. Podcast drop, best day of the week. Cause the unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak.
Yo, I'm not bad, cause I never live. Never change pace to catch my bread. Never slow, broke the code, or wrote hard, left nothing to pass. Get the man, bend your ass. Clashes, skirmishes in my back. Not a second to waste. We ain't faced with the deck. Being quick to handle business. Not leaving nobody witness. Except the one to run and tell the boss he lost. Now we on my head list. And I battle with the witness. Don't mean to cause alarm. Put your blind test to mine. Let your dress clean and on.
Joining me on the show this time around is none other than Sulfur, often known as one half of the Thought Criminals, but very much known for his solo work increasingly. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. We're going to talk about a lot of things, including your new album, which is called Rebirth.
Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about my little review and a few of the comments I made on it. And,
okay.
And work out a few things with that.
Let's do it.
Along the way. It's good to talk to you again. I haven't actually spoken to you for quite some time. Last time I spoke, it was a Thought Criminals interview.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit after your 2012 album, Entropy, dropped.
Gotcha.
And we haven't really spoken since then. And so it's a good time to do that because you got the new album out. In between that time, I mean, you've not been lazy. You've had a few other releases. I'm not talking, you know, Thought Criminal stuff or any of the guest stuff you've done with, you know, Adam Warrock or any other number of people.
Mm-hmm.
But your own work. So in 2013, we had a themed release, Odin's Son, very much a Thor-inspired piece. A little bit later, in 2014, your releases, you know, seem to be coming at the end of the year lately. we had Enter the 36 Chamber, which was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles themed release.
Mm-hmm.
The newest release, Rebirth, October 2015, came out a few days ago, really, 27th of October. I couldn't find any theme behind this one.
That's very intentional. I'm going to be honest with you. My first thought going into Rebirth was I don't want it to have. I feel like there's some underlying themes on the album that were unintentional, and they got there because of just things I happen to be going through while writing the songs, you know. So there was a similar undercurrent in a couple different tracks, but my intentions in going into it was I did not want an overlying theme. I didn't want a concept, because I've done all of that already. And I never had the first album come out, you know, the introduction album, the, hey, this is who I am, here I am, this is what I'm about and what I'm into, which is hence Rebirth, the title and kind of the play on words and email replies that it is. I wanted to go back to that, and I wanted to have that and have a rebirth, essentially, and do that. So that's what it is.
Yeah, so I was going to allude to the title, your rebirth. Obviously, as you said, it suggests like sort of a chance for you to introduce yourself. But it also feels, and you know, I wrote about this in the review, it feels like a new sort of direction, or not direction, but a refinement to you as an artist. And obviously, yeah, we expect growth from a rapper, from a performer, as they progress in their career and as they come on. But this one feels significantly different a lot of the way through. And you released the track High Score,
mm-hmm.
Before the album dropped, and I heard that song and I instantly thought, wow, this sounds different. This sounds like, this isn't the Sulfur that I'm used to.
Good.
And And I've got to get straight into it. But there's that. I mean, I couldn't find the best way to describe it. But it was like that Y sound that comes through, and a lot of your delivery. I didn't want that to come across as offensive. I didn't want it to come across as derogatory or as anything that I actually dislike. But it was just something that I always noticed. It was always there. And,
gotcha.
And it didn't feel natural.
Okay.
Now, speaking to you now, mm-hmm. your accent, obviously you have an American accent. You're from Charlotte. I have to presume, not being native to the country, that's the accent local to your area. But it's not particularly accentuated.
Got you.
But in your lyrics, that really in your delivery and style. It has come across really accentuated in the past. So is that a style choice, or was it? How does that come to be?
I'm going to be honest with you, Will. It was not an intentional direction for me. It's not something I put forethought into. I want to curtail this out of my delivery. It is probably a byproduct, not just of being an American, but a byproduct of being American living in the Southeast. And also liking a lot of Southern rappers and really enjoying them and enjoying different rappers that have a particular type of vocal inflection. Something I did notice actually pretty recently, about 6 months ago, really, I stumbled on a ton of old files of when I first started rapping, even before the Thought Criminals, when I first started rapping with the Thought Criminals, some videos of some old live performances. And there was moments I justifiably cringed, to be honest, just really frank with you, on my delivery. I'm like, oh, and if you didn't like my delivery with some of the Thought Criminal stuff years ago, this would have absolutely perhaps made you shut, the radio off or whatnot. It was that much more accentuated. And looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, I didn't enjoy that. But when I first really started writing my own raps, and when I was kind of coming into my own and trying to develop my own style, I looked at MCs that had a definitive kind of delivery and enunciation and connotation with their words. A real good example, a long time ago, was teenage years, big fan of Del the Funky Homo Sapien, and I feel like he's the type of rapper that obviously, you're going to recognize somebody's voice when you know it, but you could recognize him based on his enunciation alone. And those types of things really grabbed me. I liked a rapper that might sound like a street preacher as much as a rapper, that old hellfire preacher kind of enunciation. And that always kind of grabbed me, and that was an inspirational thing for me going into it. So maybe I amalgamated that into my own style very hard at first, because I loved it so much, maybe a little too much. The farther I go, it's not an intentional direction that's fallen away. It's just the direction I've been going, perhaps so slowly that I haven't even noticed it as much myself as when you pointed it out, And I posted, I really liked your review. The only thing I did not like about your review was your apologizing for, I'm really, really grateful for anybody that takes the time not just to listen, but to also share their thoughts and how they feel. And I want them to be very honest about it and not, don't be worried about what I think or feel. Like, share what you think or feel, So I was excited to read that, and still am. I still, really, really like reading over the view, and I'm glad it's approaching a place you enjoy it more. To be honest with you, I have got a scathing review back of Cold Winter, the Thought Criminals, just based on my voice alone. The only time this reviewer said anything nice about me is when they mistook me for Int 80 of Dual Core. Like, I really like his fast raps on All the Coins, but I hate this guy. And he wrote some really nasty things. And even then, as an artist, you have to say, okay, well, this is, this is not your flavor. This is not what you feel. And I'm not dismissing your opinion because of which. You have to accept that. You have to digest that. But you need to do everything from a very gracious standpoint, and just understand that. So nothing about the review to me was negative. It was a good review, even if it wasn't wholeheartedly praising everything. Doesn't need to.
Well, I tell you, I take on board your point. You know, I can see how it comes across as apologetic for the opinion, but I mean, just to justify that in a small way, not that I necessarily need to, but very much the ethos of the website is we write positive reviews.
Gotcha.
Not for the sake of it. If something really is really bad, we don't waste the time on it, basically. So
no, that's fair.
We only write about stuff we enjoy, and so there was an awful lot in it to enjoy. But what I want to say is that your delivery and your style of delivery really stood out much more in your solo work or your the stuff you're releasing as Sulfur rather than as the Thought Criminals.
Gotcha.
Because I think there's that juxtaposition with Michael Kill. He's all in his own right got his very distinct style of rapping, and he's very distinct. And it, as a duo that bouncing off of each other, it works in a way that I think it perhaps doesn't work so well as a solo artist.
Gotcha.
So when I heard High Score, it felt much more fluid. It felt more it just flowed much smoother. It felt less, disjointed in a way.
Gotcha.
And I heard that and I got really excited. And so I couldn't wait to hear the album. And when you very kindly sent me an early copy to review, I stuck it straight on my iPod and got stuck straight into it. And,
awesome.
As I mentioned in that review, I mean, the first song really threw me a curveball. So, here we go. We're sort of... we're back on a par here. This is kind of, I don't dislike it, but I was really excited for High Score, and this isn't that.
Bosses war, shut that slack jaw. Think they seen it all, dead them all. Like they in the law, I take it all. Love a governor's call, too little, too late. Making deities look small. I'm laying paws on them, but never pressing pause. Full speed as we impede on security floors. Always down for the cause, like jaws in the water. Stand between me and mine and become a mortar. You can't border with your last few rounds. Mr. Burns, don't lay it arms like a leash to hounds. Fist bound to death, but don't let them gums flap. Cause these boys win and leveled up beyond the gap. No button tap, gonna save you now. We feeling grace, making waves that crash over the bear. When the dad of the warrior is always the same. Couldn't stay tame, so we changed the game.
I am speaking to you from across time and space. I am literally in the future. Future.
The rest of the album, especially, and you mentioned that you got confused for Int 80, but when you speed up your delivery and the double time, really blew me away, because that's not what I expect to hear from you.
Excellent.
And I don't know why I don't have that perception, but that's not what I expected. So, I mean, is it something you're working on to speed up your delivery, or how are you doing that?
I kind of want to approach it to work on everything, honestly. The song Never Stop Learning, that's like a concept in my head that I've always kind of carried, in the sense of I never want to stop getting better. You never really reach a destination. The first song you referenced, that's essentially what it's about. It's the old thought of, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I always kind of want to, level up and get better. I like fast rapping. I like listening to fast rapping a whole lot, and I feel like it has a really strong and great place in rap and hip hop. When I go to see a rapper live and they do 15 tracks back to back of just fast, blazing fast rap songs, first off, that's a really long set, dude. But second off, I don't feel like the audience really took a whole lot away. They took away that you're a skilled and technical and amazing rapper, but they didn't get just one of any of your songs. And so I really enjoy playing with everything, kind of, you know. I want to get better at fast rapping. I am not Jesse Dangerously. Tribe One writes really amazing fast raps. He has one on Rebirth that blows me away when I listen to it still. He took over a year to get it to me. I don't even care. It's so good, you know. But yes, I absolutely want to get better at that, but it is definitely not 100% of my focus. Cecil Nick, who did the mixing and mastering of the album, and is a good friend, and he really knows his stuff, and he knows his stuff in an audio engineer way, but he has his own group, Autocorrect, and does his own music. And he told me something once that was really influential, because we were going back and forth about rap skill in an email thread, and you know, he just shot back a real simple reply somewhere in the middle. You know, he's like, man, I don't want to be the fastest rapper. I want to be a great songwriter. And at the end of the day, that's what you're doing, rapping. You know, you're writing songs, and you can write a really fast, technically amazing song that says nothing. People do it all the time. I don't really want to do that. It's not my aim or my goal. So, you know, a lot of the songs I've rapped fast to this point usually all say something, and I kind of want to keep it that way, but that's something isn't always absorbed in every setting, you know. And so I definitely like to blend it. And my forefront goal is I just want to get better at writing songs. I want to get better at a delivery that everyone enjoys, but forefront I enjoy. It always kind of, you know, put my own love of the things I do love forefront, not to be greedy. When I'm in the studio or when I'm writing or any of this, it's kind of all in my head. And then when I take it to the stage and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to present this for other people, then I put myself in everyone else's shoes. But that's definitely where I lie with all of that.
Well, it's interesting. Anyone I speak to that has any association with Tribe One always mentions that it's taken him a long time to get a verse or record something. It's very much a recurring theme. So if it took him, you know, about a year to get that to you, how long have you been working on this album?
I have been working on this album for roughly 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's been my plan before Into the 36th Chamber. I was working on it when I released that album. I released that in the middle of working on this. My thought for Rebirth was essentially exactly how you took it. It was a rebirth. I look at it like I'm setting a new bar for myself. Everything I release after this will be above this bar. But I am very proud of where I hit. I've taken a few audio engineering courses at this point. They have not moved me to a Cecil Nick level, but they were very enjoyable. And one of the guys, you know, that was an instructor, but also a music producer in that class, he gave me a bit of valuable information. He gave the class a bit of valuable information, really. But, you know, he said, you need to set your bar high no matter what you're doing, you know, because you will generally achieve that bar. Like, if you really are dedicated to your goal, you will achieve that goal. But if you set your goal low, then what have you achieved, you know? And so I looked at Rebirth like, okay, I don't want to actually release any more material until it's proper, which was honestly, it wasn't the reason for Into the 36th Chamber, the Ninja Turtles mixtape that I released. I had that idea for a long time, but it was definitely a current that brought it when it did, because I felt like, man, I haven't released much at all this year. And it's because I'm working on this on the back burner, but I don't want to talk about it yet. What do I do? And I've had that idea ever since Odin's Son. So it just was the right moment. I was inspired on it. And I wrote all of my parts for that album within 4 to 5 days. Because I lived, like, slept in 8 Ninja Turtles. Well, I've done that for most of my life, realistically, yeah. But for those 4 days, that's all I did was write rap songs about Ninja Turtles, even while I was at work, you know, in a day job, hiding in the back of a warehouse with a flashlight, scribbling on a notepad or on a cell phone, you know, just to make it happen. But I felt like, man, it's been too long since I've released some music. And so Rebirth has been on the burner for a long time. And it's always been my goal to kind of make it the new bar, to make it the new entry. So
if you're working on an album for that long, then how do you, when you get to the end, how do you Well, I mean, while you're working on it, throughout the process, how do you maintain a level? How do you reach that bar? I mean, surely you're developing over that period of time. And I found that a lot of albums recorded over a long time, and I'm thinking, you know, a couple of Death Star releases ago that they released, I can't remember what the album was called, but off the top of my head, but they released an album that was obviously recorded over a long time, and you could hear... Yeah. You know, the difference in quality, you could hear the difference in production, the difference in the ability. How do you maintain that over such a long period of time? Because this works, I'm surprised it took that long. It works really well as a body of work, and it doesn't sound, there's very little variance between, you know, the quality throughout.
Good, and there shouldn't be. Here's how it worked for me, and I can't speak for everyone, but here is what I did and what I feel how you would do that. I recorded everything within the last couple of months, but I carried those songs with me for about 2 years, and I performed some of those songs for about a year and a half for people local to me. Now, you know, I get out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and I play shows at least along the East Coast as frequently as possible, and everywhere as frequently as possible, really. But for people in Charlotte, in my backyard, where I get the opportunity to go and play for a crowd at least, you know, once a month or so, they've heard a lot of those songs like they were released, you know, and I performed those songs and I've sat down and I've said, this worked and this didn't. I really enjoyed this. This works live. This doesn't. This sounds good on record. This doesn't. Some people will write down lyrics, and as soon as they write them down, those are the lyrics, and those are good, and those are golden, and I admire and love those people. Michael Kill is one of them. I feel like my best work does not come from that area, unfortunately. I'm not a great freestyler. I've always wanted to be. I enjoy freestyling badly, but you know, I like to sit down and revise sometimes, and working on Rebirth gave me a lot of chance for that. You know, High Score, I wrote that in a night. It's always stayed the same. It's always been what it is, and I've always really enjoyed it. The same goes for a lot of different tracks. For the song Yesterdays, where I talk about, you know, basically all the times when I was too young to legally drink but still did so, and the good and the bad choices and the good and the bad times, that hook never was solid until about... 2 months before we were in the mixing and mastering phase of the album, because I was always refining it and always trying to find just the right fit for it, and I feel like I found it right there at the end, at the tail end of everything. So in my opinion, that's how it worked for me. Writing this album is I'm not recording it until everything is written and good and done. But I was watching a lot of like hardcore bands in my area, a lot of rock bands. There's a band here I really love, and I love the people in it, and it's called Hulk. But I noticed that Hulk doesn't have, you know, they have like a couple demo recordings on their Bandcamp, but they have a full set list of 10 songs they could play at any point. None of them recorded, and it's because they are still, you know, hatching them out exactly how they want them and trying them in front of audiences and playing them for people and seeing how they like them when they play them and how they feel. So that was kind of my thought going in, is I need to do this and refine this over time in this way. Especially since I wanted the bar to be that much higher. So that was kind of my thought going in.
I stack memories like some talk about paper. The story alone, enough of the cape. When you're rich and friendships, which won't flip into a new car. But everyone knows my name up inside the bar. And that's something. Bumping in Mark's wagon. High school days, 56K lagging. Dragon flash picked up the wall. Tagging bathroom stalls and up late. Thinking it's great to prank call. Yeah, we were some little assholes swinging at your mailboxes like we writing castles. Works bombs, just a little tinfoil and toilet cleaner. Setting fires where the grass is green. And now we've grown a little, matured a little less. And we still burning trees to relieve the stress. But we still making short work out of any tears. Cause that's just what the best do when they press.
I remember the friends we had, the bridges we burned, the times we shared, and the lessons we learned. I remember it all from fall to winter to spring, back to summer, anything that. And I remember the friends we had, the bridges we burned, the times we shared, and the lessons we learned. I remember it all from fall to winter to spring, back to summer, anything that it brings.
Good advice. You mentioned Michael Kill. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to him a few times since we last spoke, and he always says to me, "You got to get Sulfur on the show again." So I've done that now, Michael. So
off thanks, Kill.
Yeah. But are you ever tempted to, you know, make us an album or an EP or without any Michael Kill influence on there?
Oh, I have, and I've done it several times, honestly. You know, Odin's Son and 36th Chamber, I've had Michael on both of those, so I can't say they're totally devoid of Michael influence, but, you know, I was piloting the ship on those for sure. And the Serious Face mixtapes, I'm not sure if Michael was on. He was on that Christmas song on one, at least. Might have been on both. Okay, so maybe he's on everything I'm on. No, I know he wasn't on Divine Gamble with Cecil. That was something between me and Cecil. And, you know, so there's been times when it really comes down to it, Michael is just kind of like a friend. And he's honestly, he feels like a brother, man. He's like rap family to me at this point. And so sometimes even when I'm doing things and they're not necessarily influenced by them, like I would say my mixtapes, Odin's Son and 36th Chamber, are pretty much 100%, not pretty much, they're 100% from my own brain. But when it comes time to look for guest spots and look for people, Michael's always going to be the top of my list because that's my brother, you know, and I want him on the track. And he's one of the immediate voices in my head. It's like a go-to, like I can hear this guy right here and I know he's going to kill it. So it's definitely, you know, he becomes a go-to in that regard. I have thought about it, you know, more further releases without Michael's influence. What I'm waiting for is the day that is a release, a solo. What I mean by solo, like a original release in terms of production, not a mixtape that doesn't have any Michael Kill production. That will be an interesting time. I'm not thirsty for that moment because Michael Kill's production is excellent and is really awesome. But at some point, somewhere in the future, I would like to produce my own EP, and hopefully it will be listenable.
Or and, experimental, one of the two. You can
exactly, you know, exactly. It's gonna be cutting edge.
Well, I'm not in any way suggesting that Michael shouldn't be involved, because yeah, you two. It's just, you think of one, you think of the other. I think many people think that. And you know, he was heavily involved on Rebirth, producing five tracks and featuring on one of those as well. Nerd is Bond, which yes. Is I really enjoyed the title more than I should probably, but
excellent.
But there's some others. Yeah, production wise, let's talk about the production. I mean, Nim. I think is he local to you?
Nim is local to me. Nim. Well, as local as an hour and a half gets, that's still super local to me in the grand scheme. And Nim, actually, just to give him a little shout out, is YouTube famous. So I'm really, really happy he took the time to work. But if you look at youtube.com/NEMRAPS, Nim Raps, I really hope I didn't shout him out with an incorrect URL. That'd be embarrassing. But, you know, he has tens of thousands of subscribers, and he does his own Geek of the Week hip hop thing, and I'm really proud of that dude. He's awesome. But he is a member of Boot Era Click. If you you remember that you know, we released a whole song on a compilation of Michael's, and it was kind of like a local super group, because Charlotte has a lot of really amazing MC talent, but Nim is one of those. He's incredible on the microphone, and he's just an incredible producer, and he was nice enough to work with me on a couple songs on this, and he raps on one of them on One Step at a Time. He's the last verse on that, and I love his voice, I love his production, and his videos are incredible. They're really good.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I wasn't really familiar with them again until I spoke to Michael Kill, because he's, you know, very good at making sure I'm aware of everything that's going on with his friends.
Excellent.
As well as what's going on with him. Cool. So Nem is certainly a name he threw up. I think he sort of shied away from music for a little while, but then came back, and he's doing good things.
Yes.
You mentioned Cecil Nick. Obviously, he produced only one track on this one, which I expected more from him, to be honest. But he mastered everything as well.
He did.
And mixed, I believe.
And mixed. And mixed. That's a big deal.
I mean, he's doing a good job. Anything, you know, that side of things. I'm seeing his name increasingly associated with a lot of stuff I'm enjoying. I haven't always been kind about his rapping.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, his production work and that side of things, you know, behind the desk. Very good. We've got, again, you mentioned Dual Core earlier, but we've got C64. It's actually local to me, I think. I think he's moved to London in the last few years.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. I haven't got around to hooking up to go out for beers or anything, but maybe that can happen. I think he used to live in Manchester, but I think he moved to London.
Okay.
But two tracks on there. And and someone I'm not familiar with is Ill Use.
Ill Use is a local Charlotte legend, I suppose. There's a hip-hop group out of Charlotte, and again, you know, not to just big up my city over and over, but Charlotte has a lot of really, really talented MCs, a lot of incredible talent, and a group that hasn't done anything in a very long time, and a lot of people here probably hopefully emerge, is a group called Mr. Invisible. And they got a little bit of a name for themselves with some indie rap things and tours and what they did, and namely one of the other counterparts. There was three people in total, but one of the other counterparts, Justin Aswell, got a sponsorship from Native Instruments for their machine when they were first launching the machine, because he had videos on YouTube of him using NPC. So, you know, those views or those YouTube videos of him that were Native Instruments sponsored got millions of views, and he's kind of forged his way out there. Ill Use was the other rapper producer from Mr. Invisible, and just really, really incredible. The guy is a prodigy, and I'm really excited that he was excited to work with me on these songs. I got one beat out of some beats I got from him from this album that I held back because I want to save it for a totally different project. I've already been thinking about not the first step, but the first several steps. So I went ahead and held that back. But everything he sent me has just melted my speakers. So good.
Yeah.
That's where he comes from, is Mr. Invisible. If you look at Mr. Invisible Charlotte, you probably find those guys. They haven't done anything in a long time, but their old catalog is fantastic.
I think I've mentioned this before when we spoke before, but I'll mention it again. Charlotte was very famous when I was at school.
And really?
Yeah, everyone wore Charlotte Hornet caps. I don't know why, whether there was just a batch delivered to my local area, but it became the cap of choice. Everyone wore Charlotte Hornet caps.
That's excellent. You know, they brought Charlotte Hornets back because Charlotte Hornets were so popular. We had our NBA team, when we got an NBA team again after the Hornets left, was the Bobcats forever. I don't think anybody ever was sold on the Bobcat. Even Bobcats fans looked unhappy about it. But we just went back to the Hornets. I think that was a solid move because they had dope colors and a cool logo, and people loved the Hornets.
I think that's what it was. The logo really sold it. Everyone. Strange.
It's a thing. I mean, you know. And now we got the Panthers, and the Panthers, I don't know if you keep up with American football, but the Panthers are 8-0, and people are going crazy for that. It's kind of a banking town here. It gets a little fickle on sports games, but right now the stadium is just packed because, you know, we're winning. And the Panthers are doing awesome, and they have excellent colors as well. So,
I'm not a huge follower of NFL by any means, but they did take over Central London a couple of weeks ago. We had the game at Wembley. I can't remember who was playing. It was the Buffalo Bills and is it Georgetown something? I can't remember. But the whole of Regent Street, you got Oxford Street, which is famous for shopping in London, and off it is Regent Street, just as famous. You got the Apple Store and everything on there. Hamleys, the toy shop. And I was taking my kid to Hamleys. It was her birthday. And we were taking her there to do Build-A-Bear and what have you. And the whole street was just full of, like, people, you know, wearing NFL shirts. All the players were there. There was the cheerleaders. They had games. Nice. And the whole street was like, yeah, turned into, yeah, NFL. But anyway, we go off on a tangent.
yeah, a little bit of one, but it's cool.
let's come back to the record. We've spoken about the producers. Let's talk a little bit about some of the guest vocalists you've got on there, because there's a few names on there I'm not familiar with as well. Some of the ones I do know. Random. Kind of familiar with him.
A little bit.
I feel like I've met him more than anyone else in the whole Nerdcore scene. Yeah, maybe him and Lars, but yeah, Random is here so often at the moment. It's cool.
Man, he's hustling, man. I'm proud of that dude.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's doing really, and yeah, he just got married, so shout outs to him for that. Yeah,
absolutely, congrats.
Yeah, and he features on One Step at a Time with Nem, who we've spoken about as well. You've got Tribe One on there, as you said. It took a year to write a song. So, and I've come across Kid Dead before as well, working with Kill. But who I don't know, we've got, the introduction is Johnny Millwater. Let's talk a bit about that.
Johnny Millwater is a good friend of mine. He is a nationally touring comic that for the last several years he's been working more on cruise lines, just because it's a really, really stable gig for a comedian, you know. He has a family at home. He has two kids. He has a wife, and he's a great dad. And he's really the absolute best dad you can be, simultaneously growing up and being an entertainer since you were 15, you know. And so it's a solid gig for him, and he does that. But for a very long time, the Thought Criminals, when the Thought Criminals was beyond just me and Kill, we had a live band. The Thought Criminals, as a band with me at the forefront, were the band on Johnny Millwater's show. And Johnny Millwater had kind of a Tonight Show format show that he would do at the local Comedy Zone here, which is I know it's at least a nationally syndicated comedy venue. I don't know if you have any over that way. But he would do a show at least once a month, sometimes twice a month at the Comedy Zone, then release it later online. And it was kind of a Tonight Show format show. And the Paul Schaefer was me, essentially, for at least 2 to 3 years. And the Thought Criminals were the live band, and we played a little interludes and whatnot. And they awkwardly asked me to freestyle at certain points. So I would freestyle about, you know, the old lady's hair in the front row, and it never went well. She never looked appreciative, no matter what I said. yeah, it got a little weird. But overall, it was a really, really fun experience, a really good experience. As much as I love the Charlotte, you know, music scene, and I'm a big, you know, proponent of that, where I like to promote it and talk about different people really pushing and really doing it, I really love our comedy contributions as well. And so it was a nice foot in the door, you know, and a nice way to talk and associate and hang out with all of those friends that I have. Me and Johnny still hang out, you know, whenever he's in town and he has the moment, we like to get up and play games of Flux, card game, or just hang out. And I've had this idea for a long time to get him doing that role, and I would actually like to get him to do that same role that's on the album introduction in a music video. Hopefully that all works out maybe early next year. But he was the first person that came to mind. He's very animated. He's he's animated even when you're just hanging out one-on-one, you know. He's one of those people that's rarely off character a little bit. But He's a great comedian. He's also who sold me my first straitjacket and gave me pointers on escaping. So,
right, okay, we got to come on to that then. we'll come back to the featured artist in a minute. But okay, let's start with the video for Never Stop Learning.
Sure.
And that actually you've actually got that was shown somewhere quite big recently.
Yeah, it was shown at LockCon by, oh man, if he ever listens to this, he would probably laugh how I'm going to pronounce it, by a guy that references himself as Deviant Olam, I believe it's pronounced Olam, but he has written a couple books on lockpicking, which I have purchased and really, really enjoy. I got them after I learned how to lockpick, actually rather recently, honestly, but when I was at a point where I said, okay, I'm plateauing a little bit, I really want to learn more, so I felt like those were the best books to get, and happened to start talking to this guy over Twitter a little bit. Really, really cool, down-to-earth guy. And we hit it off over a tattoo I have, which is an unlocked padlock that instead of master lock reads achievement. It's my achievement unlock. But through that, you know, we had talked a little bit, and I sent him this video. He really liked it. I think it really helped it. N80 retweeted it a little bit, who also knows this guy, I assume, personally. But yeah, I just got word, you know, that he played my video during his presentation at LockCon in Boston. And that's really fantastic to know your music video is played at a place you really wish you were at.
Yeah. So, I mean, I felt really proud for you.
That's cool.
And yeah, I have no association with lockpicking or escapism or any of that. But it felt really good because I enjoyed the video. And I tried cool. it, and I haven't been successful yet, but I will keep trying.
Hey, that's cool.
But it's triggered so many, so many things sort of like roll on from it. So I watched your video, and then I watched a little bit later than it was out in the States. But Mr. Robot, have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
It mentions one of the first tricks hackers learn is how to pick locks. It's something very raw about it. It's the first step of hacking in many ways. So it made me think of that, and then I saw that it had been shown there. But you are into lock picking and escapism, and part of your live show is that you rap whilst escaping from a straitjacket.
That is true. That's a true story.
That's not something you just do. I mean, how does that happen? How did that come about? What inspired that?
You want the honest story, Will?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
Okay. The honest story, and it's not that interesting, but it's not that uninteresting. It started. It's kind of like a snowball effect. It started with a drunken conversation at the Milestone, which is my favorite bar/venue on the planet, in the world. But I've been escaping from handcuffs with a bobby pin while rapping for a couple years now. And that started from just loving lockpicking. And I started referencing it in a couple songs. And from referencing it in a couple songs came the idea of how can I visually depict this for the audience to see? And handcuffs came to my mind. Okay, handcuffs, how can I pick out of handcuffs? And so I learned from that moment how to pick out of handcuffs, and then progressively got better at it. You know, when I first started doing this on stage for people, I already had my bobby pin bent, before it was, and I never fooled them. They saw my bobby pin. It's never been a magic trick for me. It's never a sleight of hand. It's disappointing to me if it's a trick for everyone else. You know, it needs to be real, just on a personal fulfillment level. So, you know, I progressively got better to where I'm bending the bobby pin behind my back, and it's real deal, picking out of these handcuffs. But one night, while picking out of handcuffs, a girl in the audience happened to see it and approached me later at the bar, and we're both, just drinking beers and talking, and she happens to bring up, I own a straitjacket. You should really try a straitjacket sometime. It's super interesting. And we laughed and we clinked drinks. I didn't think much about it until I got home. And then the first thought in my head when I woke up the next day was, how do you even break out of a straitjacket? Like, how does that work? What do you do? And I immediately went to YouTube. I'm a big fan of the College of YouTube. You can learn almost anything. And, I started researching it and trying to figure it out. And from there, I made an online post about it. Like, online at 8:30 in the morning, eating Fruit Loops, learning how to break out of a straitjacket. And Johnny Millwater, who's been my friend for a long time, happened to leave a comment. Well, when you're ready to break out of the real thing, just let me know. And a little back history about Johnny Millwater, I said he's been performing since he was 15. I'm honestly not sure the exact age. He could have been performing since he was 13. Very young, he started off as a magician and an escape artist, and he used to do all sorts of things. He would swallow swords, and I don't know if he ever ate fire, but I know he would break out of in a straitjacket, and he'd break out of a straitjacket, I believe, while singing My Way by Frank Sinatra. It's pretty fun. But from that moment, next time we were hanging out, he brought a straitjacket, and You know, he used to be a lot bigger guy than he is now, but the straitjacket was too small for him at the time. And, you know, he's like, I outgrew this instantly. This is this expensive. I will sell it to you if you want for this, and left it really open-ended for me. And I immediately wanted it and wanted to do it and learn how to do it. All of that said, I will say I have not broke out the straitjacket while rapping in the last 6 months, and it's because I don't want to rub my eyeballs. I got LASIK surgery, and I'm like, I can't lockpick my way out of blindness. So I'll put it on the back burner for just a little bit, but it will come back out when the time is right. So
when you're practicing that, presumably somebody needs to put you in it first.
Mm-hmm.
That's a level of trust. Who's that?
usually anybody. a lot of times it's definitely somebody I know, and I'll tell you, the real level of trust isn't where you think it is. The real level of trust, there's a strap on a straitjacket, and on some straitjackets it's even two straps that run on either side. Those are actually more forgiving for the male occupant. But there's a strap that runs on the underside of that straitjacket.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Anybody putting it on, the first and the last instruction I give them on both sides is, please just use the first notch. It doesn't affect how hard it is to break out, I promise. I don't care how hard you strap the arms. I will wiggle my way and deal with that, but please don't do this to me.
So. Suddenly rapping an octave higher.
Yeah, exactly. And I've actually made that joke before. What I usually do in a stage performance, because it does take some time to put a straitjacket on, is I will usually rap a song while somebody is putting it on me. And while I'm doing that a couple of times and somebody's messed with that strap, I'll jump an octave higher just for the cheap laugh, you know. But hey,
it's show business.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the biz. Oh, sorry for the text message if you heard that.
It's fine. No problem at all.
Cool.
Okay, so back to the featured artists then. So we've got Action Movie Montage.
Yes.
Features Dane Abernathy, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very good with pronunciation of names. I find American names are much more diverse than you know, Smith, Jones.
Yeah, it's okay.
Whatever we get over here. So who's Dane Abernathy?
Well, first off, you nailed Abernathy. You were 100% your pronunciation.
Get in there. Killed it. Should never have qualified that. Okay.
You shouldn't have it. You killed it, man. But Dane Abernathy, full circle here, is the lead vocalist for Hulk, who I mentioned earlier.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he's also probably one of the best dudes I know. I mean, just real kind-hearted, real amazing guy. I love Dane, and he was one of the first people I thought of. I know a lot of people in hardcore bands around here. I know a lot of people that I still want to do music with that I haven't. There's another person in Hulk that screams that's really incredible, and I want to do a song with him forever. When I was working on this song in particular, Dane was just the first person that popped in my head, and he's who I wanted for the track. When I first heard the track itself, it was such a short beat that C64 sent me, and I think it was always intentionally made just to be a sample of a beat and be longer. Like, hey, this is what this could sound like. Let me know how you like this. We'll make it out into like a full 2-3 verse song proper. And I was really excited that it was not that, and I didn't want it to be that. So I really loved the scratching the C64 put on the end of it. But if it was any longer, I would say, no, this is... Because I was excited about the idea of a montage, of an action movie montage. And Dane really kind of killed that feeling. Not like killed it for me, but like, you know, I explained to him what I wanted, and he killed it. Like, he nailed exactly what I wanted, and you know, that's the only track you're going to hear death metal kind of vocals on. But there's like kind of feeling I get when I hear death metal vocals, and it's that feeling of like a Braveheart battle scene, you know, where it's just raw emotion and aggression. And that was perfect for that moment. So.
Wanna test, like I ever took a moment to rest. One taste of my pace caused cardiac arrest, and I pressed through the front lines, no signs of slowing. If you in my boat, then you better be rolling. For going shortcuts and breaks, not maintaining, training to raise the stakes. No snakes if I'm gonna match this endurance. By the way to the grave, ignore the currents. Won't see me go from under toe. Each new challenge is another reason to grow, another season to sow. Put in for what you reap. Plenty time to sleep once we 6 feet deep. Till then, it's all in. Pins plus swords. Coming quick, get slip. Can't afford to fail, to prevail. Have to study the semantics. Never had the blueprints, just had the tactics. And now we gonna show something. Think we coming through bluffing, but we ripping out this stuffing. Ain't leaving here with nothing. Ain't leaving here with nothing. Ain't leaving here with nothing. And now we gonna show something. That we coming through bluffing, but we ripping out this stuffing. With that chest that they pump. With that chest that they pump. See, I'm over there huffing.
Let's get laid down.
Ain't no lying in that new state time.
Let's get laid down.
I see I'm crying, but I still ain't done.
Let's get laid down.
Ain't no lying in that new state time.
Let's
I'm trying, but I still ain't done.
In the middle of little, did we know, did we in the middle of
hell.
Gonna be a close game.
Hell.
Gonna be a close game.
Hell. Go to hell. Go to hell. Go to hell. Go to hell.
The next featured artist, it took me, I'm ashamed to admit, it took me a little while to get the name. Like, it took me a second. Kaiser Sose.
Oh man.
It's like, of course, Kaiser Sose, but I didn't get it immediately, and I'm a bit ashamed by that, but
it's okay. Okay, I was about to say, you got Abernathy right, but you said Kaiser Sosa.
Yeah,
it's Kaiser Sosa. That is a local MC to Charlotte, so no points detracted for not getting his name yet. On the other hand, I feel like he is one of Charlotte's best MCs, and if the verse he did on Rebirth is any indication, he's just really incredible. Again, he is another person that was in Boot Ever Click as well. And he's been doing music in Charlotte for a very long time. He's been in hip-hop for a very long time. He's somebody I've seen freestyle on stage with N80 and just destroy it. Like, the two of those together, I would really love to see them release an album. I'm just putting that out there. Maybe one of them will hear this. Please just do it for, like, a stocking stuffer for me. I don't care. Just an incredible MC. Really good dude.
Nice. And finally, we got Mo on the final track, Reboot.
Yes.
Who's Mo?
Mo is a vocalist also from Charlotte. She has a very, very beautiful voice. She sings right now in a group called the Dead Men. They do not play hip-hop at all. I would call it, like, maybe, I don't want to say light rock, because every time I hear the word light rock, I associate it with bad-sounding music. But they have, like, a lighter rock folk kind of sound, and it's headed up by a gentleman named Red Jesse, who's been on other songs of mine, and he raps as well.
Hmm.
But his singing is incredible. His guitar playing is incredible, and his ability to lead a band so far has proved pretty incredible. And this group, the Dead Men, are currently one of my Charlotte favorites. They're really, really good, and I just I really, really love Mo's voice. So I asked her about the track, and she was on board, and we kind of worked on it a little bit. And, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of tracks because I feel like it's a stereotypical, but it's like an overused thing where you have a female voice singing a hook and then a dude rapping a verse and then the same hook and then the same dude and the same hook. You know, it's just like this formula is played out to an extent. So I try not to do it too often, but this song in particular, Reboot, I couldn't hear it any other way. And I tried it another way. I tried singing that part that she sings, and it was horrible. So I'm really, really glad that she lended her beautiful voice to that song.
Great. So there's 15 tracks on the release. You can find it at sulfur.bandcamp.com. And a digital release is just a mere $10. Or if you're in the UK, it's even better value because the pound's quite strong at the minute. So grab a hold of that. But for just a $5 more, we get to quite an exciting part of the show. It's not only the CD, but the comic book as well.
That's right.
Well, how did this come to be? I mean, I know you're a fan of comics. And,
oh, absolutely.
The comic's called The Rise of the Aborted Clone, and anyone that knows you on Twitter would know that your Twitter handle, rather disarmingly, is Aborted Clone. I mean, because, yeah, Sulfur, Aborted Clone, it's naturally, yeah, it fits.
Exactly. They go hand in hand.
I imagine people find you with no problem on Twitter.
Oh, not at all.
So what's the... I mean, firstly, what's the comic about without giving away too many spoilers? And how did it come about?
Well, without giving away too many spoilers, the comic, it introduces Sulfur as a comic character who was, as a comic character, an aspiring rapper, as he goes on a zany misadventure to awaken a human clone of himself so he no longer has to go to a day job and all he has to do is eat pizza and write rap songs and play video games all day. So it's kind of a true-to-life tale, if you think about it. But it came about, honestly, from a music video idea. And I have a friend, Ryan, here, who does his own webcomic. It's called Slackmatic. And if you're at home listening and you want to check it out, you really should. It's at slackmatic.net. It's incredible. And he's really funny. He's a great guy. And he actually is the frontman for a band. It's been on hiatus for a minute, but they're called the Mod Rats. And they're kind of nerdy punk rock. I love them. I'm a big Mod Rats fan. They're excellent. But I'm also a big fan of Slackmatic, and a big fan of his, more than anything, I'm a big fan of his humor style. And so I had this idea, and the idea was I was thinking of all these videos that I have made, and they're videos for other people's properties, you know, namely Ninja Turtles. I've done a video a few years back, for a song called Turtle Power, where I used IDW comic panels and I keyframed movement over them to kind of give this faux animation to it and, you know, go along with what I was rapping about and kind of really create a story and kind of show that. And I've done that repeatedly at this point. I've done it twice totally. And then I did another video for a song that me and Tribe are on called Coming Through by Bebop and Rocksteady. And I still did some of that in that video. But before I ever did the last two Ninja Turtles videos I have done, I had this idea with Ryan, you know, what if I could make a music video with my own art that features me with my own songs, you know, why can't I do that? And why can't that be a thing? So I approached Ryan about it, cause we played a couple shows and, you know, we're just friends, and I approached him about it and I was like, hey, I have this idea. I really like it. I want to see what you think. And I wasn't sure how he'd respond, but he was into it. He was all about it. And so when I say I worked on Rebirth for about 2 years, I worked on this comic for about a year, year and a half. It was a very slow process, and I put that 100% on me. You know, Ryan really put a lot of hard work in on the tail end, and a part of it was me saying, you know, I want to make this music video with original art. We should do that. And, you know, he was kind of, you know, giving me some ideas and this and that and like how we could pursue it. And through that, I said, it doesn't make sense to just do all of these images and panels just free of any kind of real, like, glue, you know, and free of any kind of reason other than this music video. This is a lot of work to put in. For what it is, I mean, it's not too much for what it is. If the product is nice, and I really look forward to the music video that's gonna be for, you know, that's gonna use this art that is underway already. I've already been working on it. This is the first time I've ever talked about it. I don't know when you're gonna release this. Probably is gonna be before the music video, though.
Yeah, but I would expect next week sometime. Maybe a week.
Oh, cool.
Maybe a week Sunday, actually.
Okay, definitely before the music video then. So, little idea. I won't tell you what song it's going to be for. But this is the concept for this music video was the first I came up with from Rebirth. And that was the backbone in making this comic. And then, you know, after we talked about it, I'm like, well, we should just make a comic. The real challenge for me became, well, what kind of comic am I making? Because I didn't approach him with, like, I have this definitive idea for a comic. I have this idea for a music video. So I wanted to kind of pull scenes that I had in my head that I wanted to see at different parts of this music video for a particular song together into a cohesive story. And that helped mold little aspects of it, but really the backbone and everything developed over time of just consistently thinking, what the heck am I going to write a comic about? And, you know, my first thought was, well, maybe I should write it about how I hate day jobs and don't want to work one anymore. And, you know, it kind of took off in different places from there. Again, our humor styles are really similar. And one thing I told Ryan really early on, I'm a big fan of Steve Purcell, who did Sam and Max. Huge Sam and Max fan. Probably will not die without them tattooed on me at some place. And, you know, his humor style reminded me slightly of Steve Purcell's on the early Sam and Max comics, which I'm a huge fan of. And I wanted to kind of take that and put it in our own place. And I didn't want to do something that was too directly Slackmatic, because that's where he's at, but also really comfortable and familiar for him. And I feel like we hit that, and so I'm really proud of it. I'm glad whenever people get back to me and they say they enjoyed it. I'm very happy to hear that, and I'm stoked to write the next. I've already began, so
cool.
It's thing, yeah.
I'm really enjoying this rap and comic combination, because yeah, I spoke to Word Burglar not that long ago, and he, of course, released his own comic, cool. Which it just hit Comixology this week as well. Have you any plans to try and get it on there?
Possibly. You know, this is something I have literally not looked into at all. So the only thought I've had at this point is, how hard is it to transfer into CBR format, right, which is, you know, generally comic format, and I don't know if it's as easy as a simple boom, you download an application and transfer it right over, if there's something more involved. So I want to kind of see how that lies and work on that.
Yeah, I think the process, you know, where Burglar would say, was takes around about 3 months for approval on,
wow,
Comixology. So it's a long, you know, process. But yeah, he was successful with that, so I'm really pleased for that. And I got a physical copy of that as well, which
cool.
really, I thought was really good. So love to see it. I'm, you know, glad you've done the same thing. That's it's awesome. So I think you know, we're about out of time for this.
I was just getting started, Will.
Just getting started. Yeah, it's just turned midnight here. So
you know what? It's about time to wrap up. I got Fallout 4 waiting for me anyway.
Yeah, so. How are you enjoying Fallout 4, by the way?
Oh man, I'll keep you here for another hour. I'll tell you this about it. I am loving it. Like, I am loving it so hard that I can't give anyone else an honest opinion. I was talking about Fallout 4 on January 1st of this year. Now, it was not announced at January 1st of this year. I just had my Google alert set on Fallout 4. I have been kind of rabid for Fallout 4 before I knew it actually tangibly existed. And so I'm in this zone where I can't see the wrong yet. I've had a couple frame rate drops. I've had a couple issues I've seen some other people complain about, and I can't even count those in the review process. So I am a very biased party. You shouldn't listen to me at all, but I am loving it. So
yeah, the internet's a bit quiet at the moment, because I think everybody's enjoying it. So it's a desolate wasteland out there. that's all good. That's all good. Just one last time, then. You can find the new album Rebirth from Sulfur at sulfur.bandcamp.com, and you can find him on Twitter. It's is it Aborted Clone, all one word?
At Aborted Clone, one word. Yeah. And just look for the next comic issue I release. The next two or three is gonna actually explain that. So.
Ah, there we go.
Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing.
So Sulfur, thank you ever so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and you know, you're an incredibly eloquent and you know, knowledgeable man. So I enjoyed the chat. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for having me. It's great to chat with you.
deck. Memories like some talk about paper. The story alone, enough of the cape. When you're rich and friendships, which won't flip into a new car. But everyone knows my name up inside the bar, and that's something. Bumping in Mark's wagon, high school days, 56K lagging. Dragon flash picked up the wall, tagging bathroom stalls, and up late thinking it's great to prank call. Yeah, we were some little assholes, swinging at your mailboxes like we writing castles. Works bombs, just a little tinfoil and toilet cleaner, setting fires where the grass is green. And now we've grown a little, matured a little less, and we still burning trees to relieve the stress. But we still making short work out of any test, cause that's just what the best do when they press.
I remember the friends we had, the bridges we burned, the times we shared, and the lessons we learned. I remember it all, from autumn, winter to spring, back to summer, anything. Remember the friends we had, the bridges we burned, the times we shared, and the lessons we learned. I remember it all, from fall to winter to spring, back to summer, anything that it brings.
Remember this one dude, hung at strip clubs and floors, half gallons in his backseat like a boss. One night got flipped off, drunk on the interstate, hung out of his driver's side and straight slapped the engrave. Ha! I swear it's no lie, thought I was gonna die in that passenger side. We found out later, that dude was robbing banks, but he was buying drinks, so all we said was thanks. Like tanks in our youth, quick to knock them back, regardless of the proof. Never forget why I quit drinking Everclear, picking fights with friends I ain't seen in 3 years. But yo, you live, you learn. First lesson, never giving, always earn. Quit stressing, living, don't be concerned. What you put in, that'll get returned.
Remember the friends we had, the bridges we burned, the times we shared, and the lessons we learned. I remember it all, from fall to winter to spring, back to summer, anything that it brings. I remember the friends we had, the bridges we burned, the times we shared, and the lessons we learned. I remember it all, from fall to winter to spring, back to summer, anything that it brings.
UnheardNerd.com.